Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Karen Cam Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Cam, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. If you don't have a copy of my book, you can get a free excerpt on my website at www.karencan.com. Just put in your name and email address and get on my mailing list, and I'll send you the link where you can download the excerpt as well as 5 of my Fast Track Your Healing webinar classes that you can attend absolutely free. They're recorded, so you can do them at any time at your leisure. And we have classes on emotional healing and self-muscle testing, how to create positive intentions, things like that. So I'm sure you'll enjoy that if you have not taken my classes already. And today's show is kind of special because let me tell you, I love telling little stories before I introduce my guest. So the story behind this is that many years ago, I went to a conference, and this particular doctor, Dietrich Klinghardt, who I think his work is wonderful, he had this little machine. It was called a heart rate variability machine. And he says, well, we can see really how healthy you are by putting you on this machine. I'm kind of dumbing it down, what he said, but that's the gist of it. So I lie down and I get this machine on me, and he looks at the tracing and goes, hey, you're pretty healthy except for this one spot where you kind of got stressed out. And I know exactly when that happened because I was lying on this table in the middle of a conference room with tons of people around with my eyes closed when they were doing this test, and suddenly somebody bumped the table. And my eyes kind of flew open, and I thought someone was going to land on top of me or something. So I was like, wow, this is really kind of cool. And then a few years after that, I worked with Dr. Jeffrey Thompson on sound healing, and he used an HRV, heart rate variability machine, to see what note in the universe, we're talking about musical note, that our bodies respond to. Everyone's different. So my note in the universe that my body goes into balance with is F sharp. It's actually F plus 27 to be exact, if you have 100 increments between one note and the other. And I thought, well, what, isn't this really cool? But he said, look, this technology is kind of hard to work with. I'm not really teaching people how to do this biotuning because they just can't, you know, there are a lot of lay people. They don't really understand the computer. So, and then I also found there were a lot of conferences where these doctors were talking about the benefits of using this heart rate variability machine. So I'm thinking, you know, it'd be really so great to have it, but honestly, I am not going to train in yet another modality. There's so many modalities that I've been training in, and I thought, you know what? The doctor said, you know, it's a little tricky to use and get used to and understand how to read the tracings and the whole bit. So I just totally gave up on this, but I thought, wouldn't it be so cool to be able to do these on my patients and see how they're responding to their therapies that I am prescribing, because some patients have no sense of feeling in their body. Like, I can see someone and I can do acupuncture or energy work on them and I can see a huge difference. You know, I can check and say, wow, you know, your shield is up and your back, your fascia and your muscles are so much more relaxed right now. I can pick up your scar before it was totally scarred down and you're sleeping better. But you know what? Sometimes they don't get it. They're like, no, I don't think anything's changed. You know, I'm like, what? Really? You know, and with muscle testing, which is what I do all the time in the office, it seems very, very subjective. So people just don't really believe sometimes. I mean, it's most people do because otherwise they wouldn't come to me. But sometimes it's nice to have something on paper, a machine to say, hey, this is changing something in your body. This is actually being beneficial. So recently I got introduced to a machine called HeartQuest HRV, and the reason I was very interested in this, because this is like heart rate variability for dummies, okay? So we're talking about I don't have to go and do all this, you know, serious training for years and years to try to get really good at reading these tracings, but they found a way to use software and just credible, algorithms and protocols to be able to translate it into a language that I can understand. So I went and invested in one of these machines, the HeartQuest HRV machine, and I'm really excited because it's so cool. You could actually check on the chakras, which, you know, power centers in your body. Many people listening to the show are, followers of mine, so they're really into energy work and energy healing, so they know what chakras are. You can even check how your Chinese meridians, how well the flow of energy is going in there, how much vital force, you currently have in your body. And the coolest thing, of course, is I love testing people's brain balance, so I do muscle testing for that. But wouldn't it be great to be able to give them something in color, actually, not black and white, but in color to say, hey, this is what your stress handling system is really doing right now, and this is what it's telling us. How well can you heal? How good is your peak performance? Are you in stress mode? How's your relaxation mode? And for people to see that, I did one on somebody last week, and she said, this is so helpful, she said, to really see it on the screen, see where I'm at, and I think it really helped her kind of buckle down and say, okay, I got to make some lifestyle changes here. And so even though I've been working with this person for a while, just having this, machine being able to give her feedback on how she's doing really helped her decide that she's actually going to make some lifestyle changes that I've been suggesting all along, but, it said, okay, I'm not doing so great here. I really need to make a shift. So I've asked one of the co-creators of this amazing technology and the training program, Dr. Michael Kessler, on the show today so we can learn more about this kind of in layman's terms. Now, he's been teaching medical doctors from all over the world how to use this technology, how to assess their patients with this technology, and he's been in alternative medicine for 35 years, a lot longer than I've been in medicine anyway. So I'm so glad that he's on the show. So welcome, Dr. Kessler.
Thank you very much, Karen, and I want to thank you for having me on, as I'm very passionate about this technology. For the same reasons you really kind of laid it out there, I think, because when I was in practice, I, like you, I did lab work, but I did a lot of muscle testing. I also learned from Dr. Klinghart. And people look at you kind of strange. And when I saw this technology from my partner, Dr. Karamov, who's a Russian MD and an NMD, and we met at and he showed me this technology, and I was flipped. I said, this is what we need to be able to share with patients changes when we do bioenergetic medicine, things that they don't feel or see, they look at it kind of a little with those eyes, that you see, and people look, I don't know about this, kind of thing. We needed something to be able to actually show them we were making changes with something objective that was legitimate in the literature, in the scientific literature, which is heart rate variability, and be able to show them these changes. And for me, I want to know, when we do some of this bioenergetic medicine, whether it's sound therapy or pulse magnetic field therapy or even putting people on lifestyle change, we need, as a profession, to be able to share that with our patients and show them that these changes are really taking place. And so with that, we have the HeartQuest, which is highly visual, as you said, and it makes it really easy for the practitioners to pick up the information, and really, especially the patient, they can see it, right? I mean, mm-hmm. The same thing you kind of just said. But this technology came out of really the Cold War. And in World War II, it was designed to track the submariners, the health of submariners under the sea, and then it expanded into the hospitals, expanded into sports medicine, expanded into all sorts of different avenues. But it was used in conventional cardiology as a risk predictor to gauge whether, someone with a heart condition is likely to have another incident in the next 2 years, and then it expanded its way out of cardiology and to clinical use as a predictor of overall health conditions. And so it's something that I run myself on every patient. I get a baseline, and I can track their health over time and make sure that whatever I'm doing is moving them in the right direction. And so I don't know, would your readers, assume your listeners like to know about the mechanism of how heart rate variability works and what it is we're exactly measuring, and what would you like to know?
Definitely. And definitely, you know, why you know, this particular machine is different from, I kind of alluded to that earlier, but, you know, from the other predecessors of heart rate variability, where, you know, I'd have to learn how to read these fancy lines on the page. So if you could kind of tell
us what it does.
Sure.
We've taken the technology and expanded it even further. And what we've done is, you know, most heart rate variability systems are pretty boring for the patient, and there's a big learning curve, and we didn't want that for our doctors and patients. And so we've been able to translate behind the scene, underneath the hood of the system, into visual pictures that anybody can get. But we've gone even a step further, and the Russians have too, and then we've expanded that. But what they did, and I'll explain what traditional heart rate variability is, which we have in the machine. And then what the Russians have done is they've done something called fractal neurodynamic coding. They looked at repeating patterns, similar patterns in nature, and we can see those repeating patterns in the EKG that we read and be able to assess deeper regulatory systems in the body. And we've gone even a step further, and we can actually pick up on the meridians very, very accurately, just like if we were measuring in Chinese medicine where we measure the pulse. And I still, you know, both my docs out there who are doing TCM or Chinese medicine are still doing that. But now they can look on the screen and they can see what's going on with the meridian. And then after they do, there's a place the needles or the pellets or however they're doing their TCM, they can go back and see the changes, which is phenomenal, where they're moving. And so we've gone further with heart rate variability, because we're measuring directly the pulse. Instead of measuring the pulse, we're measuring the direct signal coming directly from the heart, from the EKG. So, in other words, you're in TCM, right? And it takes a long time to measure and learn how to feel that pulse. Now we can measure directly what's going on by getting a direct signal from the heart where that information is really coming from. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I was curious. I'm actually not trained in traditional Chinese medicine, but more kind of French acupuncture energetics. So on the HRV machine, you'll see those color codes of the different meridians and whether there's qi stagnation, so the energy isn't moving, or whether there's a deficiency there. And I'm curious, like, after I do a treatment, sometimes, you know, the colors swap or they shift. There's definitely a shift. And it's not all that, all of a sudden all of them are balanced. Some of them that were balanced become unbalanced, but then some of them that were very unbalanced become more balanced. So maybe you can explain why we see those
the body is so dynamic, like a Rubik's Cube. And what I do, and I could tell you how I use it from even a muscle testing side, a lot of times I'll patterns once a month. And what I'm seeing sometimes is there's an area that's stuck. It's just not moving. And it usually corresponds to where somebody's complaining, whether that's the digestive, you know, where the stomach meridian is constantly stuck. And then I may go and check, let's muscle test that. Is it a hydrochloric acid problem where they can't break down their proteins? I can test some reflexes for hydrochloric acid. I can muscle test. I can run lab work to see if that's what's going on. Or if it's the lung, constantly, a lot of times that there's an emotional component there. Maybe there's some grief or sadness. So, you know, the way I use that is I look at the pattern and I see what areas are stuck from 1 month to the next. And then I go ahead and address that and figure that out. So that's one way that you can use that screen, which is phenomenal. And, you know, probably before I go on, I should probably explain heart rate variability, what we're doing to the folks out there. We're measuring an EKG, and we're measuring the electrical activity of the heart, and we're measuring these little things called systolic peaks. So when you're doing an EKG, you'll see these little peaks, and we measure 300 of them. And we measure the time between those peaks, because what we want to see, hence heart rate variability, we want to see is variation. flex in the time between one R wave to the next. If it's stuck and you just have the same time, that's kind of true. What's true in one dimension is true in all of it. That person is kind of rigid. They've lost their flexibility, and the flexibility we're going to be talking about is in their nervous system, in something called the autonomic nervous system. That's the nervous system that regulates the time between those R waves. And if it's and there's two branches actually of the autonomic nervous system that regulate this whole thing. One speeds up the time between those R to R waves, that's sympathetic, and one's the parasympathetic that slows that time down. And we want it to be a dynamic play, interplay between the two branches of the autonomic nervous system, the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system. And most of us know a little bit about the sympathetic nervous system. That has to do with fight or flight. And a lot of times, when we're stressed, when the IRS is coming to audit us or the body responds, the body is going to respond just like if you were being chased by a wolf. It doesn't know the difference. And a good way to describe that for our it doesn't matter what threat it is, there's a place in the brain that sounds a general alarm. And the adrenal system promptly floods the body with adrenaline and stress hormones. Non-essential physiological processes switch off. So we don't want, when you're in an emergency situation, there's certain physiological functions like digestion that's going to stop working. That's why you don't want to have a nice meal when you're stressed out and having an argument, because it shuts it down. The skin chills, and blood is diverted into the muscles in preparation for a burst of emergency action, so it's because we got to be able to run and flee. The body prepares us, breathing is going to quicken and skyrockets, infusing the body with sugar for quick fuel to go to our muscles so we can get away, right? The entire body is suddenly in a state of high alert, ready for fight or flight. That's your sympathetic nervous system. And that sympathetic nervous system, by the way, 90% of your systems are regulated by the autonomic nervous system without us thinking about it. It does it automatically. You don't think about, I've got to breathe, I forgot to, my heart, I got to tell my heart to start to beat. Everything is done automatically. That's why it's called the autonomic nervous system. So what happens if you're in that state of fear and it doesn't turn off? And isn't today, everybody's stressed. And there's some really, it's really not a good thing if you're locked into that sympathetic mode and you cannot go back over, which I haven't talked about yet, the parasympathetic of the nervous system. The parasympathetic nervous system does the complete opposite of the sympathetic. It is involved in slowing the heart rate down. It's involved in digestion and peristalsis, so you can digest properly. So they're both kind of yin and yang, and they're both going back and forth as needed. And when we sleep at night, we should have more parasympathetic functioning turned on so we can regenerate and heal and conserve energy. And so the sympathetic nervous system is going to utilize a lot of energy. So we don't want to be stuck in either one. We want balance. We want to be able to have a dynamic system where we can go back and forth as needed. So there's a big problem if you're stuck in either one. And that's and then we can talk about that. So if you're stuck, you want me to go on this avenue here? Or?
Yeah, sure. That would be great.
Yeah, so what's the consequences really of being stuck in say sympathetic nervous system function? And most of us have heard of the hormone cortisol, for example. And if we're if excess cortisol is going to, if we're stuck in that mode, it kind of depletes a very, very special a molecule in the body called methyl. And that methyl is designed to turn on and turn off the stress response. And that has to do with our mood, like serotonin and dopamine. And if those are depleted, it could lead to depression. So if we're stuck in the stress response all the time, we could deplete those feel-good neurotransmitters. We start to crave sugar to boost up those neurotransmitters. And we get a yo-yo effect of sugar going up and down, which is definitely going to affect our mood, cause more inflammation. We're stuck in this state Here's a really good example. A really good example. Patient comes in to see me, and she's showing me her blood work, and she's got, you know, she says that her doctor told her that she's heading towards diabetes. And she says, I don't understand it. You know, I don't know why my triglycerides are so high. I don't understand why my blood glucose is so high. I eat impeccable. My diet's impeccable. And I live on a farm and I exercise. And she's telling me all these things. She's sitting right next to me. She's even making me uptight. I can see she's a super stressed. I look at, yeah, I mean, you know, she just, and you look at her heart rate variability. And she's almost all sympathetic dominant. And we didn't tell you everything about heart rate variability, but on our test, we also look at brain waves, and you can see that her beta waves are really high. And you can see that's anxiety. And when you're in that state, you're going to produce lots of cortisol, which is going to increase your glucose because it's going to prepare your body to run from the beast, right, from the wolf, and it puts more blood sugar. It increases the blood sugar, and you end up with insulin resistance, which is a whole topic in itself, and you get metabolic syndrome. So we don't want to be in these states. We know that when you're in that state, cortisol seems to put on this thing called central obesity, where we get that kind of round tummy there, which, and that fat produces tremendous cytokines or inflammatory markers. And we also, that tummy is, the smaller your brain is, you know, there's a connection.
Wow.
We know, so we don't want to be stressed. And we know that if we're in that state for a long period of time, it's going to affect thyroid function and block conversion factors to make the active thyroid hormone that we need. And, you know, it just, a lot of these people come in and they feel restless, they have nervous tension, they can't relax, they may have disturbed heart rhythms, high blood pressure, you know, headaches. These are people who are sympathetic dominant, and just that alone is going to affect also their immune system. They're going to have increased allergies and lowered resistance to infections like, you know, yeast, viruses, and bacteria. And they're more prone to osteopenia. They're more prone to all sorts of problems when we're stuck in that state. And I see a lot of people come in because, you know, just the way it is today. You know, either, you know, you're raising a family, you have jobs, there's a lot of stress. And you can see it here. And if you don't lower that, which is really cool, I don't know if you there's a breathing program that we have.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that great? You know, you get somebody to do that. We have the person film that on the screen. It's customized for them. And it increases the opposite of that fight or flight, the calming, the relaxed side of the nervous system that is involved. Actually, the parasympathetic nervous system right now is being weakened quite heavily because it reduces inflammation in the body. Big deal in autoimmune diseases. It also cardioprotective. And it also connects, has an effect on mood, because the part of the parasympathetic nervous system called the vagus nerve communicates with the gut bacteria, the microbiome, and it communicates information to the brain. And so it affects out of that.
Wow, that's really
counter,
neat.
Isn't it? It counters. It counters that sympathetic dominance that we see. And so we have to have a certain amount of tone in the parasympathetic nervous system, and you can see it visually with our heart variability system. And so really, really important. And we have, you know, when we talk about the parasympathetic nervous system, there's something called the vagus nerve, which is the longest nerve in the body, part of the parasympathetic nervous system. So higher vagal tone, like, you know, when you look at the heart rate variability system, you can see the pi, and then pi you see the green, which is the parasympathetic, and then yellow you see the sympathetic, and you can kind of see, you know, if you have adequate amounts of this green, or you have just a sliver, which isn't good. But higher vagal tone or higher amount of that green means that your body can relax faster after any stress. Better blood sugar regulation. How about reduced risk of cardiovascular disease and stroke? Lower blood pressure, reduced migraines, better mood, less anxiety, improved stress resilience, and obviously improve digestion since it controls peristalsis and digestion. So we want to see, you know, what happens. People come in and they have almost all sympathetic dominance in just this little tiny sliver of parasympathetic nervous system function, and that's not good. So that's where, you know, yoga, all the ancient healing arts had some method to increase that. Breathing, which we have in this program, the customized breathing program designed for that patient. And it's really important that we do that because, you know, again, if you don't have that parasympathetic tone, you're more prone to cardiovascular disease and stroke, fatigue syndrome, cognitive impairment, higher rates of inflammatory conditions. So, you know, it's really important that we bring that up in our patients. And the beautiful thing is we can see it on this technology.
Well, and, you know, Dr. Kessler, some people are, I have some young people that are going through some, you know, major issues with symptoms, and they still score better than I did on the HRV. I'm looking at their tracing going, oh, I'm so jealous. But I'm not symptomatic. They're symptomatic. And yet, you know, they're, you know, parasympathetic is higher. I mean, these are in their, teens, early 20s. These folks,
sure.
It just amazes me as how, I mean, they're either they're having migraines all the time, or maybe they're really, really tired all the time, and their thyroid's off, and, you know, they're on medication. So how is that they could be healthier, quote unquote, in this system than someone who's not symptomatic and very highly functional?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, when you look at this in young people, there are certain patterns, you know, and nervous system function. And healthy athletes should have higher parasympathetic nervous system function, okay? But it's all relative to something called vital force. Now, on our test, which is unique to our system, and that's an actual mathematical equation called autocorrelation, but it's basically telling us how dynamic, how much vitality do they have to go back and forth between the two branches of the autonomic nervous system. Do they have the vitality to do that? Now, if they have the green, like you said, which you see in these young people, and they have a high vital force, you know, and it's up there in the...
Mm-hmm.
They're doing
okay.
That. But if it drops, if that vital force drops, then they're moving into adrenal exhaustion. So, you know, you really need to look at the full pattern of all the things. You know, we have different screens, and I kind of look at them all, what's going on with these people. You know, you can look at the brain function, and in our brain function, you can see sometimes that these people, like the headaches, for example. It's the vascular headache. We have a really great reading on that called intracranial pressure, and sometimes that will show up if these people are having headaches, and it's vascular nature, which is not a liver or gallbladder headache, but it's more of a vascular headache. So it, you know, I have to see, and I'd be happy to look at that, to look at those cases with you, but you got to look at the full picture of the whole, all the different screens, because all together they give you a complete picture of what's going on with that person's health.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, I mean, can this, you know, the main thing is to be healthy, you have to be able to adapt. And the people that can't adapt anymore, have lost that flexibility, are the ones who can't get well. Just like Klinghart talks about regulation, which is the autonomic nervous inability to be able to be flexible. It's kind of stuck. And our therapies and the therapies that you're using are you know, whether it's a, you know, dealing with toxicity, dealing with psycho-emotional, you have to find the reason for that. And that's why I love some of the work that you're doing in your clinic with the kinesiology and some of the, you're looking for the cause, right?
Right.
And you're trying to figure out what's blocking, what's stopping that nervous system from being able to regulate the body properly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, Dr. Kessler, I was doing some experiments on myself here, and I did a pre and post right away of the HRV testing. And during the second testing, during the time that it was taking the 300 beats, I decided I was going to channel this reconnective energy that I've been attuned to and just channel it through my body, sort of like doing a self-healing, you know. So it's just, you know, focusing on just feeling that energy in my body. That's pretty much all I was doing. And I was amazed that that there were such changes in the HRV. And one was the brainwave state. Like, I was in mostly delta wave before, which is interesting because I was, you know, kind of in detox mode. And even my husband, who scored high on everything, the only thing that was so-called off was his intracranial pressure was high, as was mine, and then our brain waves were mostly in delta wave. So, and we measured both of us when we were kind of, you know, going through cold symptoms, but it was like a detox, not really a cold. But during the time that I was channeling this energy, the brain waves were like huge, and they were like, they were waves in every single category. It was fascinating, the difference between before.
So
I was like, wow.
It's just really, really accurate, and that's what we love. Now the difference being on this technology, what the Russians were able to do is get to, I have here in our clinic, my wife, Dr. Piketty, she does traditional brain, electrical encephalogram, you know, where she maps the brain and looks at the brain using the traditional method. The Russians have taken the heart rhythms from the EKG and mathematically have been able to extract information about the brainwave activity. And we have people who have those technologies and they tell us that it's pretty close. And so, you know, a lot of times, like I said, when we see somebody who's super stressed, you'll see a lot of times the beta wave is really high, and that's looping thoughts and anxiety. And sometimes we'll see the theta wave go up. And when the theta wave goes up, you know, it could be, you know, sometimes we can't tell what part of the brain. Is it in the frontal lobe or in the occipital lobe? So we can kind of differentiate between ADD, because sometimes if the theta wave is high, it could be ADD, or it may be a little bit of anxiety as well. So we can, you know, it's really kind of neat to be able to see these different states. For people who are meditators, you'll see sometimes that alpha wave come up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
You know, you can get and I don't know of any technology out there where we're able to look at all these different systems together and how they interconnect together, from Western medicine to Chinese medicine to Ayurvedic medicine, because they're all connected. Everything's connected. And that's what we've been trying to do, is connect the dots.
And Dr. Kessler, I guess one of the questions people have is just how, and I think you just talked a little bit about it, about, you know, comparing the EEG, you know, results on a patient versus what shows up in the HRV, and you said it was very close. But, you know, how did you kind of, not you, but how did the company validate these other parameters? You know, like,
sure,
what did
sure,
they,
sure.
what was their gold standard, basically?
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, you know, I can backtrack a little. So traditional heart rate variability, which we have in this thing, measures the time domain, which and then they have statistical numbers like standard deviation, normal to normal beats that we see and all this other stuff. But we have the traditional time domain, and then it's traditional heart rate variability. They measure from the heart rhythm something called a spectral analysis using a technique that's called fast void transform. Basically, it just breaks down the EKG into low frequency, high frequency, and very low frequency. Low frequency being the sympathetic nervous system, and high frequency being the parasympathetic. And there's a whole other subject we haven't talked about yet, and that's the VLF, very low frequency, which is the neural hormonal, which is your brain, a hypothalamus, and its downstream hormone. Additional heart rate variability stuff, right? But we've breaken it down. Into now we go, okay, well, when the sympathetic is dominant, that person, and if you're looking from an Ayurvedic standpoint, that person is more what we would call pitta from 5,000-year-old medicine. That person is more type A person, right? They're sympathetic dominant. They're more, when they get out of balance, they could be more pushy, and they could be, they have a hotter system. Their system runs a little on the hot side. So we've made these correlations, and so they do better with cool foods. Especially in the summertime, they're more prone to ulcers and esophageal reflux. So Dr. Karamoff, who's an expert, not only is an NMD, he's the head of anesthesiology in a hospital in Russia, and he got trained here as a naturopath, but he's really trained in Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine, and he saw these correlations between the autonomic nervous system and Ayurvedic medicine. So like somebody who's more has more red in the pie, which we call vata, they tend to have more dry inside. They tend to have more oil and warm foods because they're also fairly cold. They're in their heads a lot. They can't turn off the brain. They're always there in fear. They're looking ahead all the time. The brain's always working, right? So he makes
I know that one.
Between. What's that?
I'm like super vata.
Super vata. Yeah, super vata. Well, there's some real good qualities to being vata as well. You know, every one of these has fantastic qualities. I'm just, you know, there's the good side and the bad side, depending if we're in balance and vata or not. But the correlations we've made, and he's made correlations between what's going on in these different frequency ranges and the specific meridian. And we found from working in several offices in Chinese DCM offices that we find to be incredibly accurate as far as the Chinese medicine point of view from looking at these different frequency bands. But also we have patents that we were able to get. Like, for example, we have the thyroid functional index. It came from an actual study studying patients who had Graves' disease. And these are people whose thyroid is hyper. They have a hyperthyroid. And they usually, what they do to that, unfortunately, is to kill the thyroid with radiation and knock it out. And then they needed a way to be able to track the results of that to see that the thyroid went into the lower range or normal range after that. And these people were always getting blood tests to detect that, and they found a way to correlate with the blood test using heart rate variability. We have a patent on that. And we also have another patent on the intracranial pressure. So when it shows up positive there, we know that the intracranial pressure is above 20 millimeters of mercury. And, you know, so those are studies that we have that tell us that, you know, that possibly they have the intracranial pressure is too high, you know, and so we have some real studies that we have in here as well. Same with brain toxicity. We have a study on that that kind of gives the clue. Really, it's really about the liver's inability to detox, and that's the brain toxicity. So in this heart rate variability system that we have, like no other system out there, we're able to extract information from the heart. And that's not so foreign when you think that you do the studies on the heart as some people say as the first brain, you know, the intuition, the heart cut the connections from the brain to the heart, right? And the heart functions by itself. It produces some of the same neurotransmitters that the brain produces. And when we're doing TCM, we're measuring information from the heart. When we're measuring the pulse, we're getting it directly with the EKG now. I mean, you know, so very, very smart mathematician in Russia who studied this stuff. And, I mean, this wasn't just one scientist who figured out this mathematical coding system that allowed us to look at some of the deeper stuff like cardiovascular adaptation, autonomic nervous system regulation, neurohormonal regulation, and the psychoemotional states from doing fractal neural dynamic coding. And so I just love this system because it's able to look at it's multidimensional, and that's how our body works, right? It's incredibly complex, and we can see the pattern with this.
Well, and you have there's a screen that compares like minerals and hormones. What does that screen actually tell us?
Well, it's giving you an idea of the ratios, the balance ratios of the minerals in the body. And so you can see, you know, for example, and out of that comes also from TCM, correlation from, so for example, if you have the fire element in Chinese medicine is high, that is correlated to low potassium. If you have an elevated metal element, that we can see when we look at the Chinese medicine, the meridians, that correlates to calcium, low calcium. The water element's related to sodium. And, you know, it was real interesting because when Dr. Karamoff was in the hospital, for example, when we talk about the water element, we talk about the kidney, right, the kidney meridian. And when he worked in the hospital, and somebody had low kidney perfusion, blood flow to the kidneys, a lot of times they would give them dopamine, for example, to bring that up. And so he assigned as the neurotransmitter that goes with that particular element is dopamine. There's a method of us trying to backtrack because you know, Chinese medicine is a phenomenal healing art, but we're trying to figure out how that relates. Everything's related, you know, and we're trying to relate that to functional medicine from a Chinese medicine standpoint to a Western medicine standpoint, and we're trying to figure out the dot and make those connections.
So on that page, and most of it, obviously not the the inflammation or the thyroid functional index, but so the more to the center is more balanced. But then sometimes after we do a treatment, sometimes it seems like some of these parameters actually flip the other way. The inflammation consistently seems to go down after a treatment. Same thing with the TFI. More, I haven't done that many, so I'm pretty new at this. But sometimes the balance of minerals seems like almost worse after treatment temporarily. What's that about?
Well, you know, we're really playing with energy. You know, we're moving information. And for example, I use a lot of times. Can I say it on the radio what I use, or is that okay?
I guess so.
Yeah, I use a quinton, marine plasma, which is a trace mineral. It's got all the element portion as our blood plasma, and it boosts up the energetics of the body by putting all those charged minerals into the body. And the electrical flow through the meridian, for example. And I use that, and as I push that, you know, so sometimes when you look at the meridians, for example, the total power is really low. And for those out there, when we look at the meridians, there's a number called total power, and it tells us how much energy is going through the 12 meridians, right? And so if it's low, it should be between, we need it to be really between 1,500 to 3,500. That's the range. But when it's low, sometimes you're not getting a true picture until you boost the information through to boost up the total power. Then I can go back and look at what's going on with the minerals. And so, I mean, look what's going on not only with the minerals, but also look what's going on with the meridian. So in other words, if the energy in that person's system is so low and you want to get a more accurate picture, you want to boost some of that stuff up. And one way to do that, which I could talk to you about, is the quinton marine plasma. That is, I'm actually doing a lecture on that. That's pretty much an incredible finding that they use to treat all sorts of diseases in Europe. It comes from the ocean. And this marine plasma comes from these plankton plumes. There's about five in the world. You have to have a license to get in. And there's just these big plankton are it's where whales feed and it has tremendous sea life, and these little zooplankton come up and eat plankton and produce this plasma, and there's a whole way of processing it, and we use it to improve the autonomic nervous system balance that you'll see on the HeartQuest, and it also helps to balance the meridians. It's something which the whole subject in itself called the intracellular matrix, or the biological terrain of the body that bathes the cell and keeps them healthy. And so when we look at some of these things, again, you're looking at the flux of the meridians, and that's where those minerals come from. And that's in flux, and that's changing depending on what's going on with that patient. But when we want to get a real accurate picture, sometimes I will flood the body how those minerals look. Does that make sense?
Right. And how soon do you get a reaction?
Instant.
Okay.
It's actually when I'm doing two things. I'm doing research on all these things. So I've used it where I put people on the quinton, and I usually do it for a couple weeks, and I can show you on the screen if you ask me. I'll go through with you, but you'll see every week you'll see the all the HeartQuest scores going up. We've also have something we haven't told you about, which is a patch that we've been working on, where if you have a HeartQuest, eventually you'll be able to send your patients a patch the size of a Band-Aid that they could put on their chest to measure this. They'll send it back to you. You'll plug it into your HeartQuest, pick times of the day that you want to investigate. Suppose I just sent somebody out for a crummy meal, you know, and I wanted to see what would happen, right? And everything crashed.
Right.
They went to the Cheesecake Factory and ate cheesecake and bread and all this, all the things that we don't like our patients to do, and you can just see everything crash. And so,
Wow.
You're going to love it. And what we've done is we've taken the patch, they wear the patch, and we give them the Kington, and you can see that over the next couple hours after taking it, it stays, their heart rate variability stays in a state of where the autonomic nervous system is working really, really well and where we want it. So it's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, that's really cool. Actually, I work with another doctor who has another Russian scientist working with him, and they've found ways of energizing minerals with subtle energy with different intentions and things, and it's much more effective and definitely increases the vital force of the person versus just a regular mineral supplement that you could just get over the
counter. Is that Yuri? Is that Yuri Cronin?
Yeah, it's Yuri.
Yuri is great. We were working with Yuri as well. We love Yuri. So he's another great scientist making great products, and we're looking forward to testing some of his stuff as well. So
fantastic.
So that's great. Fine when we mix the energetics, you know, whether it's his product or the Kington, and you mix it with other imprinted. I don't know. Do you do imprinted information?
Mostly theirs. Yeah, mostly theirs.
Okay. Okay, yeah. We mix that with other things, other homeopathics, and it makes them better even. So that's great. That's great. And you know, the beautiful thing about the HeartQuest is you can do these things, and then you can test them over time and see how they're affecting these different systems.
Well, that makes sense a lot, what you said about how you know, the things might look like they're out of whack right after testing, but if the person has really low vital force, you may not be getting the most accurate results because they just don't have enough chi in their bodies.
Two things. Yeah, you got it right. It's a vital force, and it's also the total power. When you look under the meridian screen, you'll see the total power is really low there. And then once you build that up, you give up enough power in there to push the energy through those meridians, then you start to see what's really stuck. And that's where you can use Yuri Cronin's product, or you can use the Kington, which I highly recommend, which is a phenomenal product with a really rich history from the 1800s from Rene Kington, who was just, we can't even say on the air all the things that they were using in the street, but it's another phenomenal technology.
Oh, great. You know, one of the questions we've had in previous shows about stuff from the sea is because they're really concerned about Fukushima and the radiation and how safe is it. So I'm just going to ask you right now because I know someone's going to ask me later.
Yeah, no. These particular places are pristine places. I know the gentleman who brought this to the United States, Robert Blovac, who's probably one of the leading water experts in the world, really bright guy, and he is impeccable in the research that he does, and he brought this from Spain to here, and there is no incipients, there's no radiation, it's just very, very pure. Otherwise, it wouldn't even test. I mean, it wouldn't test through muscle testing. It wouldn't test through our heart rate variability system as far as showing
changes.
Right.
It would test harmful if it was harmful, right?
That's right. And so it's phenomenal. The beautiful thing, again, about this system is, you know, I have people who ask me to test their particular products. So I have right in front of me something called the Theragift, which is a light gem sound. It does. It you snap these little things on. I find they have crystals, specific crystals, and this light.
Hey, that sounds very, very similar to the patches that I use called LifeWave. It's been around for 10 years.
Yeah, so LifeWave is phenomenal, and this is just another device that you can shine that through light into the body, and I go, okay, well, you know, does this do anything? And so we've tested it, and she's got different protocols. She's got one that is for the brain on the crown, which is a sapphire gem, and it puts the brain into a, and you set it for balance, and it immediately puts the brain into an alpha state and relax. And you can see it on the heart flap immediately. And then she's got, you know, so she's got all these different gems that we've been testing for her to see what the effects are. And it's phenomenal to be able to have a device, objective device, to see what it is doing. I have an OnDemand here, which is a $25,000 pulse magnetic field therapy. Test that. See which of the different frequency programs on that are best for that patient. You know, so it's just great to be able to have a technology to finally be able to see what's going on at multiple levels.
Yeah, that is fantastic. And, boy, I didn't even open up the phone lines here. I don't know if anybody is wanting to ask Dr. Kessler a question about this, but the number to call in is 818-514-1190. Just hit 1 so we know your hand is up. So, again, the phone number is 818-514-1190, and just hit 1 so we know you have a question. So it sounds like that people can see shifts in their readings often immediately after getting a treatment, right, Dr. Kessler?
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I did that a lot when I was first had the machine and was playing with it. You know, I was so curious and wanted to test everybody on all these different technologies. Now I just want to see what's going on a regular basis. Once a month I test the patient and make sure that they're moving in the right direction.
Ah, okay, great. And you know, how does someone, say, who doesn't, you know, live here where I am, you know, be able to find out more or be able to search if there are any doctors in their area that do the procedure? How would they find that out?
Well, you know, I can leave you an email. I can tell you an email. They could email me and I could tell them if there's somebody in their area who's doing that.
Okay.
The email is dr, like doctor, drmkessler at S like Sam, B like boy, C like cat, global.net. And the reason we do it that way is because the other site and my sites are for practitioners, you know. So this is the only people that should have this device are in the hands of competent practitioners, right?
Gotcha. And speaking of practitioners, why is it that when people go to their regular doctor or their cardiologist, why haven't they heard about this if it's been researched so much and it's been, the HRV technology has been around for years?
Well, you know, it's like there anything else, you know. I mean, a lot of fantastic information is out there and all sorts of subjects, including, you know, more sophisticated lab or sophisticated ways of doing things. But before it hits mainstream medicine, it usually takes a lot longer for it into the mainstream. And a lot of, I know some really great docs, like Mark Houston, who's a phenomenal medical doctor who's working with hypertension clinics. And we know a lot of doctors out there who do heart rate variability of various forms. So it is being used, but as the majority of doctors are still behind the times. You know, I mean, they just are, and you kind of know this, you know, being in the field. But it's out there. It is being used, and it's really being used in research. If you get on the internet, punch in heart rate variability, you'll see thousands of research articles on heart rate variability. You know, heart rate variability from the American Heart Association, heart rate variability in one of the most prestigious journals called Nature. And heart rate variability and inflammation. You'll see even in Circulation magazine and PubMed. PubMed has a whole bunch just on cancer and being able to track people who have a metastasis and being able to use the SDNN number for survival. And so we've seen all these things, and so it is mainstream. It's just that a lot of doctors just have, you know, they're just kind of stuck in what they do, and that's the way it is.
Well, one last question, and this is about hydration and coffee. as far as when to measure someone, can we tell at all using HRV whether they're hydrated or not? And then how long after they drink their morning coffee is it okay to test them? Because I'm sure coffee increases the stress response, and so many people are addicted to it, they're not willing to get not take it. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I tell my doctors, you know, that, you know, you want to tell the patient to how to prepare themselves, you know, and when they come in the morning, if they're going to come in the morning. And it's helpful. You can't always do that, obviously, but it'd be nice to see the patient close to the same time you saw them before, so you're consistent. But that's not always possible, I know. But I tell people to come in the morning usually, and they can have their coffee after they get tested, because it's going to cause, I say a lot of times it causes arrhythmia. And, you know, I think that's kind of a sign that that's what that coffee is doing to them, right? It's in some people. And it's not a good thing to stress the heart that way, right? And so I tell them to drink water before they come in, and see the little R waves, very, very small. And sometimes that can be dehydration, you know? And you're still going to get an accurate reading because it's measuring the R to R intervals. But the main one is really the coffee. The coffee, when they, you know, if they do it an hour before, probably not a good idea. So maybe you could extend that out so it's not, you know, causing the arrhythmia. The second thing is that I tell people if they drink coffee, because I'm a, you know, coming from a health practitioner standpoint, I tell them to put MCT, medium chain triglyceride oil, in their coffee, because then it becomes more of a health food.
How about ghee?
See, anything, you know, any
clarified
cinnamon,
butter.
Any what's it put? Well, if you get a put, if you do, did you say butter?
Yes, butter, yeah. Like bulletproof coffee.
Oh yeah,
so clarified butter.
Grass fed butter or the clarified butter, the ghee, phenomenal. So that sustains the brain, sustains the body for long periods of time. So I do intermittent fasting, for example, because that's a whole subject in itself, and I have patients do more of a ketogenic diet with intermittent fasting, which there's been studies right now also, because I've been looking at it too. It improves heart rate variability, which we're looking at. You can see what diets actually are going to improve things, and we know that in a lot of people, if you can get them off the sugar, which means no sugar, they're eating protein, clean protein, and maybe they're eating, as much vegetables as they want, as long as it's not corn and carrots and high glycemic type, vegetables. And they use 70 to 80% fat, you know, avocados, coconut oil, you know, the good butter, you know, we were just talking about, which, you know, those things are going to improve their health in an immense way, you know, because sugar causes so much inflammation. And eating all those fats reduces inflammation, and also incredible fuel for the brain. There's a lot of research on that for Parkinson's and dementia and just having an overall quicker, faster, good memory, you know, for the brain function, right? More neural connections. So I don't know how we got into that, but we got into coffee.
Don't get me started on coffee. Although, you know, my husband rated better than me, so I'm thinking. I said to him, you know what? Do whatever you want. I'm not going to bug you anymore.
I don't drink coffee myself, but the point being is that when you have a heart rate variability, you can put people on lifestyle programs, change their diet, and watch the patient's health improve. So,
yeah. Absolutely. Oh, well, Dr. Fezel, this has been fantastic being able to interview you today. Thank you so much for the information. You're a wonderful teacher. We learned a lot. We're going to basically archive this show so it's going to show up on our blog and, off a link off our website as well so people can access it at any time, because we're introducing this into our office practice on a regular basis. And I know how much time you spend in research and teaching, and we so value your being able to come on the show today. So thank you.
Well, I want to thank you for asking me and having me on, and you're doing great work. And with the heart rate variability in your office, I think your patients are really going to be able to see visually all the good work you're doing. You know? Anyway,
thank you. That part's nice. Great. Yeah, our pleasure. And thanks, everyone, for listening. And until next time, bye for now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.